It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Before she had written her famous novels, including O Pioneers, Willa Cather wrote an emotionally gripping Pittsburgh-based short story called Paul's Case in 1905. It's the story of an unhappy adolescent whose obsession with art and opera don't fit the humdrum reality of his day-to-day life in Pittsburgh and the mundane future he envisions if he remains in his hometown and follows the path prescribed by his father. And so he escapes to New York and meets with tragedy. Now, thanks to composer Gregory Spears, Paul's Case has been transformed, as you just heard, into an opera, which debuts in Pittsburgh tomorrow at the George White Studio as the second work in the Pittsburgh Opera's American Opera Series and as part of the company's second stage project, starring resident artists of the Pittsburgh Opera's acclaimed singer training program. I'm joined now in Studio A by Gregory Spears, composer of the opera version of Paul's Case. Gregory, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you.
And I think what we should start off with is by having you explain the significance of the song that we just heard, where the lead character, Paul, is singing about a red carnation.
Yes. Well, Paul is a bit of a, his teachers say he's a bit of a dandy, and part of what he's interested in is beauty in all its forms. And one of the way that's symbolized in the story is by a red carnation that he pins to his lapel. And this enrages his teachers in Pittsburgh. And he steals some money and flees to New York.
Why does this enrage them? What is it? He's kind of doing an in-your-face kind of thing here, isn't he?
Right. Well, it's very ambiguous as to why it enrages them. Part of it is that he's sort of pretending to be fancy or a dandy. And they think it's insolence.
There's an attitude in 1905 that it might even still exist somewhat to this day that don't act like you're above your status in your prescribed status in the social strata.
Yes, absolutely. And Paul, it's his way of rejecting his teachers and the world they come from, nonverbally, I would say. And at the end of the opera, he buries this red carnation. It's a sort of symbolism of his time coming to an end. It's a very sad moment.
And how would you sum up the story? I kind of did my own synopsis. I don't want to give too much away, so I'm going to let you. This really is an amazing story that 100 years later, a lot of young people today would probably be able to identify with, right?
Sure. I mean, it's a very – part of what I love about this story is it really gets at how difficult it is to be a teenager, whether it's 1905 or it's today. It's a difficult time for all of us, whether we're teachers or teenagers ourselves or parents. And, you know, Paul just doesn't feel like he quite fits in, and I don't know that any of us felt like we fit in as teenagers. But Paul has a very difficult time adjusting, and he's very extreme in his reaction. And his father, he loves to usher. He actually ushers at Pittsburgh's Carnegie Music Hall. And his father feels like he needs to get a real job because he's acting up at school. He's in love with theater. And so his father asks him to go to work as a cash boy clerk. And Paul doesn't like this, and so he actually steals the deposit that he's supposed to deliver for his job, and he buys a train ticket to New York, and he goes and stays at the Waldorf Astoria and goes on shopping sprees. And then when he runs out of money, he feels backed into a corner, and that's when the story takes a tragic turn.
As you were reading this story, what about it, about Willa Cather's short story, Paul's Case, spoke to you, put the voice in your head that said, I must make this into an opera?
Well, you know, one of the things I love about opera is that opera can really, I feel like it's a perfect medium for stories that are dramatic and also a bit tragic. And in this case, the story sort of comes to the worst end it could come to. I don't want to give away the ending. But so it has a certain drama. I think Paul's interest in beauty and art and music meant that opera was the perfect way to tell his story. If he could have told his story, I imagine he'd want it to be told as an opera. And so that's both a nod to his interest in beauty, which he witnessed at the Carnegie Music Hall, but also a nod to what is part of Paul's problem, is that he loves art and yet he doesn't really have a way to be an artist. It's sort of a fantasy world for him.
Does this relate a lot of what the old Pittsburgh was like, perhaps for a young person, that this was a very industrial, very gritty, dirty, often gray, dark city, but along the way you had these portals that people like Andrew Carnegie provided, these beautiful music halls into which somebody could escape and discover that through this there's another world out there beyond this sort of Hell's Kitchen that we're living in.
Right. Well, that's part of what fascinated me about this story was that Pittsburgh is a really interesting paradox at this time, just as you say, that it had some of the most beautiful and rare works of art, and yet at the same time these were being paid for by an incredibly rigorous workaday kind of society. And for Paul, that's a paradox that he has a really hard time coming to terms with.
And what should we know about how Willa Cather came to write this story? She was in Pittsburgh when she wrote it.
Yes, and it actually fascinated me a lot that Willa Cather, I feel like there's some of Paul in her to some extent. She was an artist, a writer living in Pittsburgh, and she was a high school teacher at Pittsburgh High School, which I believe is now the Connolly Training Center up on the Hill District is where that used to be located. And she was a teacher, and she actually had a student that to some degree was a model for the Paul character. And she was looking for a way to be an artist, and yet at the same time she was working very hard. This was at the beginning of her career. So for her, I feel like she was trying to come to terms with what would it mean to combine industry and artistry in a way that was productive, in a way – something that Paul couldn't quite do.
And she – so in the story, Paul goes to the opera – with the teacher. A teacher takes him. So this must have been something that she did.
You know, I'm not sure if this actually happened to her in that case. And it's the student actually, Paul runs into his teacher there. It's a sort of an awkward run-in rather than her taking him. But in the opera, he actually leads her down the aisle because he's an usher. And so it's one of those, I feel like we've all had that moment where, you know, as a student or as a teacher, you see each other outside of school. And so that's a bit of the drama of that situation. But, yeah, so she was a teacher. So it's really interesting how in the story it almost seems like she's pulling both for Paul and for the teachers, right? She understands both positions, what it's like to be an artist in a place that perhaps doesn't understand that, and at the same time she knows what it's like to be a teacher.
We're talking with Gregory Spears. He's composer of the opera version of Paul's Case, the Willa Cather story. It comes to life tomorrow in Pittsburgh, and making a dramatic operatic entrance into our studio is Daniel Curran, who is playing the lead role of Paul in Paul's Case. And Daniel, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you very much.
How much are you able to identify with this role?
Oh, I think I identify with a lot of it. Being that I've loved music for so long, I can really relate to Paul's fascination with that kind of culture. I think where it becomes disjunct is the fact that he wants everything to do with music without being the performer himself. Mm-hmm. So that's where I actually don't match up with him. But the love of art, the Algerian sands, everything that he observes and wants to suck in, I completely identify with on an artistic basis, for sure.
The opera is in English. Does that make it easier to bring the emotions to the surface?
I mean, yeah, I would say. I think when you're singing in your native language, it's always easier to relate to it immediately. So yeah, I mean, I think it's easier to sing in English, bring out the emotions in English for sure.
Gregory Spears, the operas that regular opera goers and that most of us are used to seeing, I mean, they can be like an all day event, but this is very short. I think it's 85 minutes. Is that right?
Yep, just about.
That's shorter than most movies you'll go to see nowadays. I mean, so. What were your thoughts about trying to keep – were you trying to keep the story concise here in the opera version of it?
Well, you know, I think it's – as opera goers in America, we are used to a sort of movie length, 90-minute span duration. And so I did want it to be about that length. Also, you know, a very practical reason, and Dan can speak more to this, that Paul is on stage almost throughout the whole piece. And it's almost 90 minutes of straight singing for the main character. And by the end of that's about as much as you're going to get out of a tenor. And Dan does such a wonderful job. I'm continually amazed. So there was a sense of I wanted it to be concise and I wanted it to be well-paced. I'm kind of really interested in operatic pacing, and I think that as an American composer writing for American audiences, I hope that they appreciate the quick pace of the piece.
Right. Well, that would mean that even if it's not something you're particularly interested in, you might want to try it because it's not going to be long. And sure. And obviously, we have just a few seconds left, but obviously, Daniel, you're happy that it's not any longer than it is.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had to work up a stamina that I haven't had to work up for a long time, which is fine. I mean, you have to do that for Mozart eventually and stuff like that. So, yes, I'm very happy that it is the length it is, and I think it's going to be wonderful.
Well, Daniel Curran, who plays Paul in Paul's Case, and Gregory Spears, composer of the opera version of Paul's Case, thank you so much for being with us, and good luck with the debut in Pittsburgh tomorrow.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And that is Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Thank you for listening, and have a great weekend, everybody.